Trustee Goodrich.
Good morning. Just that song was really, really I just want to thank the leadership for allowing me to speak this morning. Thank you to my family, my parents, my in-laws, my wife, my two boys, the youth committee, and Brother Wilson for checking on me every other day. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for the many blessings that you have just laid out for us. We come here this morning, Lord, just to give thanks for all these things. And now as I am standing here, Lord, I ask that you can just speak through me. Let your message go forward, that when people are hearing, that they are hearing your word and not me. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Yeah, let me get some water. That's a good idea. I am a Knicks fan. I know everyone's saying the Knicks are awful. How could you be a Knicks fan? They have been terrible for the last two decades. But this season, they have a new coach. They have a lot of new young players, and they have been winning. The reason for that is they have a defensive first coach. He cares more about defense than offense. He feels that if the defense is strong enough, the offense will come. And it is working. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, when I was very young, my dad put my brother and I in a basketball camp. And it taught us the fundamentals of basketball. But the coach there always would say, defense wins games. So he would always push for the defense side of practice. And it's true. We won quite often. And it looks like New York is winning in the same fashion. All right, you'll see what that has to do with it later. The title of my message this morning is called Like the Queen's Guard. I'm going to take a passage of scripture that is quite popular. I'm sure you've heard of it many times. It's in Ephesians 6. It's the armor of God. Now I'm going to try to attempt to go a different angle than you normally have heard. And I hope you are blessed and encouraged by it. So we're going to read three verses there. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 10 to 13. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And that's important because actually my first Holman Bible was given to me by Brother Archie. And it's an apologetics Bible. And apologetics is to defend your faith. So it plays right into that defensive thing. This Bible, however, was given to me by Brother Wilson. It's also an apologetics Bible. So we're just staying in that frame. All right. And it reads, it says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day and having prepared everything to take your stand. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I ask that it can continue to bless our hearts. Amen. In verse 10, it says, be strengthened by the Lord. And quite clearly, who has the strength? The Lord. And where are we supposed to get this strength from? The Lord. It mentions that the Lord has vast amount of strength, vast. And when we think of the word vast, well, when I think of the word vast, I think of the ocean. If you ever stood on a beach and just looked out, it looks like the water will never end. Have you ever been on a cruise or a ship of some kind and you're standing in the water? I mean, well, hopefully you're not standing in the water. You're standing on the ship that's in the water, and you can look in all directions, and it just seems like there's nothing but ocean. That's what comes to mind when I think of vast. If we all were to just stand on this ship, everyone here would just stand on the ship and just take a bucket full of water out and just hold on to it, we would look out into the vastness of the ocean and it would look like nothing has changed. So when the Lord says here that his strength comes and he has vast amount of strength, it means that we can take as much as possible and it won't even make a dent in what he has to give. It reminds me of a passage of scripture that my grandmother used to have us recite all the time. One of many, actually. It's in Psalms 121. And I'll just read the first two verses where it says, I know it from a different version because, you know, she did King James, but this says, I will raise my eyes toward the mountains where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And it shows us that when we need something, we're supposed to be looking toward God because he has it. He created this earth, this world, the heavens. He did it all. So if we need something, he's the one who has it. It's like when someone says, I know a guy. It's God. In verse 11, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Now, the first part says to put on the full armor of God so you can do what? Stand. Now, there's two definitions that I like of the word stand that I think applies here very nicely. The first definition is to maintain an upright position. The second definition, to be situated in a particular place or position. Now, the Queen's Guard. I know if you don't know who the Queen's Guard are, they're the guys who wear the red pajamas and the funny hat that looks like a microphone cover. But if you look on the internet, you'll see that there's this this craze with trying to get them to laugh or to move or to blink or to whatever. But if you realize, they never do it. You know, they are in that stance and they don't move the whole time. So when I think of this passage here where it says to stand, that comes to mind. Because no matter what you do to them, say to them, they are at their stance, they are alert, waiting for their duties. If something were to happen, then that's when they spring into action. Now, it says in verse 11, so that we can stand against the tactics of the devil. Now, tactics are simply schemes, tricks, plans to get your way in things. Now, I don't have to explain who the devil is, but I will go into tactics and plans. Now, I have never been in the military, but I watch a lot of TV and movies, and I feel that I know enough from that to speak on it a little bit. Now, in the military, when they go on special ops, and I think OPS stands for operations, they have to And even in training, they have to use different tactics to, you know, rescue people or infiltrate an area. And tactics aren't always negative, but it really is just the idea of using different ways to go about things to have your way. So we have the devil here who has many tactics that are out there, many schemes, many plans, and we don't know what they are. The same way when the military goes out there and they have their tactics, the enemy or the opposing parties, they don't know what the tactics are. They have to just be on guard and hope that whatever they have set up is enough to defend themselves. Verse 12. Now this verse is very deep. You can have probably 17 messages on this one verse alone. So I'm going to do my best just to go into the information that I found and just stick to what the Lord has led me to speak on. So verse 12, it says, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood." So right there, it's telling us what our battle is not. It's not against flesh and blood. What is flesh and blood? It's us. It's people. It's mankind. It's our neighbors. And who does God always tell us to love? Love our neighbors. And now it's telling us here that our neighbors aren't the ones that we're in battle with. And this has been one of my favorite verses since I was probably a teenager. And even though I still can't completely explain what it means and each detail of it, I know that when I am in a confrontation with someone, that I'm not in confrontation with that person, that there's other things going on there that I can't see and that I probably can't even fix in that moment. So it helps me not to say things that I can't take back. It helps me not to mark that person as someone that I can't associate with. And this happens, I'm sure all of us have some type of an example where we had a loved one who just filled with emotion, they just act completely different. Or they have been exposed to something or there's a health condition where it's not really them that's there, but all you see is them because we live in a world of, you know, physical contact. We see each other and we use our senses. That's the better way to look at it. We use our senses, our sight, our touch, our hearing. So when we hear and see the person, we can mark that person as the enemy. But this passage is saying they are not our enemy. It says that we are supposed to love our neighbors, for our battle is not against flesh and blood. And that alone can be a task for us alone. But that's why God starts off by saying, take strength from me, because it's not easy. And it continues to read in verse 12. It says, but against, which means that our battle is against, but against rulers, against authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heaven. Like I said, I can't go into details per se, but I think a good example of this is a few weeks ago, I believe it was Brother Clicks who spoke on the man who had who was demon possessed, how he slept in the cemetery, he didn't have clothes on, people knew about him, kind of kept their distance. They kind of chained him up so that he wouldn't hurt anyone. And then the demons were cast out of him and cast in some pigs, but that's not the important part. They were cast out. And then what happened? He was closed. He sat down. He was in his right mind. Can you imagine if they had said, you know what, this guy is a problem, let's kill him? That opportunity for him to be restored back to the person who he would never happen. So that's why I think it's important that we understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood. There's other things in the works. And it tells us what things are in the works. It's authorities, world power, spiritual forces, pretty much things that we cannot touch. We cannot see. I'll go back to the military for an example. If you're doing whatever and a commanding officer walks in, what happens? Everyone stands at attention, right? They have to wait for that commanding officer to say at ease. And even then, they're still in a stance, just a more relaxed one. They're in their stance. That command, that power that commanding officer has just by his presence cannot be seen. You can't see the power that anyone has until it's shown in a way that our senses can tap into. So similarly, we have here, it says that these are the things that we are actually up against, things that we cannot see. So how do we prepare ourselves for that? The full armor of God. So we need spiritual preparedness for a spiritual battle. And you don't see us walking around here in full armor for our neighbors, because that's not our battle. We can be at leisure in our suits, in our dresses, and not have to worry about getting stabbed by a sword, hopefully. 2020 was pretty crazy. Okay. Verse 13. It says, this is why we must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. So I'm going to stop at, this is why we must take up the full armor of God. It says, this is why we must take up the full armor of God, so that we can defend ourselves against these things that we can't see, these things that we can't touch. It says, so that we may be able to resist. It doesn't say that we may be able to fight against it. Again, it's more of a defensive mindset. Resist. Now, resist means to cope or to oppose. Now, when you think of coping, you think of having a situation and dealing with it, not fighting against it. So again, defense. And then it says, which again, this is pretty deep, says, so you may be able to resist in the evil day. Now, as far as I was able to decipher, in the evil day isn't a specific date on the calendar, but it is a date in where we are going to be tested. It's a day where this armor of God is going to be put to use, to the test. So the wording of it, it says in the day, so in the evil day. So it means that it's going to happen. But prior to it, it says that we may be able to resist. So depending on where we are as far as preparedness, we may or may not be able to resist these things that are coming on that day. This is why you have to stand guard and be ready. It reminds me of another passage of scripture, James 1 and 2, where it says, finally, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. It's saying that it's going to happen. And when it does happen, you can count it as joy. In this verse, it's saying that you may be able to resist it in that evil day. So we must prepare ourselves so that when that day comes, we may resist it. Like oftentimes, we like to be on the offense. We like to do so. I don't know, there's like a sense of pride and joy that comes from being able to do and say I did. But oftentimes that's not what is being called for in that situation. I often hear we are more than conquerors, but it's often taken out of context. Put on the full armor of God, I got the sword of the spirit, my feet shot, you know, that's great, but you have all that stuff so that you can stand, not so that you can go out and fight. Because oftentimes, like I said, we live in a physical world. We use our senses. So when we're ready to fight, we're looking for targets. And how do you fight a target you can't see? So I think this is phrased in such a way so that we can look and see that it's not for us to be on the offense, but for us to be more on the defense. And defense wins games. All right. The rest of that verse in 13 says, and having prepared everything to take your stand. So God is telling us, prepare yourself, because that evil day is coming. Be prepared. So on that day, you can take your stand. You can be like one of the Queen's guards, where things are coming at you. People are saying things. People are making faces at you. And you're not flinching. You can stand. Now, just for sake of the armor of God, if you haven't heard of it before, I'm just going to read through it, and then I will wrap up my message. The beginning of 14, there's that word again, stand. Therefore, with the truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows from the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and stay alert in this, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. I'll stop there. So just gonna recap and then I'll close. The Lord is the one who provides us strength. Our orders are to take stand, to put on the full armor of God. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against our neighbors. We have a spiritual battle that the Lord wants us to be aware of. So I say now to believers, continue to prepare. And I say to unbelievers, if you feel that this is something that you would like to be a part of, I say that is an excellent thought. How? Now the Word of God says that it's all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins, the sins of the world, and you will be saved. You make that confession and you are a child of God. You have access to the vast amount of strength that the Lord provides. The rest is that walk, a relationship with God. The more you put into it, the more you will see how good God is. And I can testify that God is very good. So I say to everyone, be encouraged. I say to anyone that has taken that confession and now believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, please do not be a stranger. Please communicate with the members of this assembly so that we can help you to understand more things that you may not be aware of. And I say to believers, continue to be encouraged. I always feel that us as believers, we always need to be encouraged because our memory is short. We forget all the time. And I think God understands this. It's why he has us to break bread every time we get together so that we can, because what's the point of it? Amen. To remember what God has done. So I always feel that it's an important part of our spiritual work to be encouraged by one another. Because even though we have a personal relationship with God, when you share with another believer, there's just a sense of, I don't even know how to, joy that comes across. I love talking with people just about, like when we have family get-togethers and we're at the dinner table and we just, it always comes to spiritual things somehow. And we just go into like things that we've been studying and things that we may be struggling with, and it just how everything comes together, it's incredible. So I think God understands that too. That's why he set up the church so that we can have an opportunity to have fellowship with one another. But I just want to close off by saying that I hope that this was a different take on this passage of scripture. I hope that you can be more aware of it in your personal life and that you can share this with another believer when you hear them say, yeah, man, we got to put on the full armor of God and go out there and fight. You say, you know, hold on. There was this young brother that had a message one time that said, that's more for defense. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And I thank you for how you care for us, how you provide for us. The word of God says that you created the world. You created the animals. You created the waters and the creatures and the plants. And then you created us like a nursery for us, Lord God, that everything that we may need, like a baby needs bottles and a crib and diapers and blankets. You created the world and everything for us inside because you love us and you want to take care of us. Continue, Lord, to be the amazing God and Father that you are, and allow us to put ourselves to the side, Lord, and to focus more on you and the things that you want for our lives. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.